doing this show for you, Lee.
What is your
my wife, just a second. You don't know, hey, oh boy. I wouldn't talk on your lines if it was your show. I want you to meet Bing Crosby, standing, Leo Lynn, right there. Leo, think about it, right there. I'm not throwing that away. Boy, that's a retread.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
Who stands behind a gun, and every fan comes hope that man who stands behind the fun.
Oh, thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, Army Officers Hope, telling all you people in general, if I've made you use Pepsodent, you'll never have to take out your teeth in private. Or this is Bob Camp Callan Hope, telling all soldiers to use Pepsodent, and whether you're in the infantry or artillery, the engineers will never have to build you a bridge. Or, this is Bob broadcasting from Camp Callan Hope, telling you soldiers to use Pepsodent on your teeth and they'll never be bucked, private. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, Army Officers Hope, telling all you people in general, if I've made you use Pepsodent, you'll never have to take out your teeth in private. I think you go coast to coast, yeah. Well, here I am at Camp Callan. Camp Callan, that's 6 miles from San Diego, as your $21 a month flies. You have to imagine that you're soldiers tonight. They're all soldiers. Camp Callan is located right on the edge of the ocean near the water. In fact, as soon as I arrived, I felt a fine spray on my face. The commander missed my eyes. It's nice having an army camp right on the Pacific, and if the soldiers get up early enough, they see a beautiful sight. Every AM, an MT is washed up on the shore. Yesterday, the soldiers were drilling right on the shore, marching toward the ocean, and the lieutenant forgot to give the command a halt, and three men in Company B stubbed their toes in a Japanese submarine. Remember, we're Camp Callan. You're all soldiers. It's a wonderful place here. When I arrived at camp, a scream went up. I backed into a bayonet. You know how they spread a carpet for an admiral or a general to walk on? Well, you should have seen me walking on broken glass. It was wonderful down here on the edge of the ocean. Skinny Anna stood on the shore and took a deep breath of that powerful sea air, and he had a blackout for 45 minutes. And there's a lot of salt water in the air down here, too. As soon as Skinny got here, he took a deep breath, and one of his lungs turned to the other and said, "We're pickled." I've had fun here. I played some new game with the soldiers here, and I made 23 sevens in a row. Wonder how much I can get for 2 16-inch guns. I got $10 ahead, then they began rolling the bones all over the place. Mine. But the soldiers here lead an ideal life. If a soldier wants to, he can get up around 10 in the morning, slip into a bathing suit, then off to the beach for a delightful swim in the blue Pacific, then back to camp for a long rest of 22 days in the guardhouse. And just relax, don't knock yourself out. And at night it gets very foggy around here. Last night one of the men stopped and offered someone a lift, and it's really foggy. In fact, that's the first time a private ever kissed a second lieutenant. Oh, that'll be a yak down there, brother. Are you listening, Dad? That fog really gets heavy. In fact, this is the only place I ever saw where you can fall down and never hit the ground. Don't relax too much, for God's sake. I don't know which branch of service I'll go into. I address letters to the Army, Navy, and Marines and Hedy Lamarr. But all the letters except Hedy's came back marked insufficient postage. Hedy's was just marked insufficient. But I like it here at Camp Callan. I wouldn't say there's a scarcity of girls around here, but I know of one girl who's changed hands so many times they call her Libyan. But today... today some soldiers took me for a ride in a Jeep. You know what a Jeep is? That's Helza Poppin' in Technicolor. What a ride. Now I'm wearing a zoot suit with a heat seat. That Jeep could go almost anywhere. You can drive it over a steep cliff, the driver told me just before he leaped out. So many of the soldiers here ride around in Jeeps, they're thinking of changing the name from Camp Callan to Camp Callan. And I want to tell you, they're not giving any information out down here. If you ask any questions, they throw you right out. I said to one of the officers, how many men are at this field? And a minute later, there was one less. And they're very strict. I spent the first 2 days in the guardhouse because my yo-yo was stamped made in Japan. Everything is so secret. If I asked any questions, the soldiers all turned away. And every time I came near a group of soldiers, they began whispering. After a half hour of this, the guy doesn't know whether to register as an alien or use life boys. One fellow I know had a map of the United States tattooed on his chest, and they arrested him. They claimed that one of his dimples showed the location of an airfield. just to give an example, I said to one of the soldiers, how many men are down here? And he said, oh, somewhere's between. I said, well, how far is the nearest city? He said, oh, about. I said, well, how many airplanes have you got? He said, oh, quite. He said, now I got to put you in the guardhouse. You know too much. Everything's a military secret. This camp is right on the ocean, but I'm not allowed to tell what ocean it is. I can hint at the name, but I can't be specific. And everything's a secret. I had a special pass from the commander. I knew two lieutenants personally. And it still took me 3 hours to find out where the washroom was. Nice delivery, huh? They're very careful not to reveal any military secrets. You can't learn a thing. In fact, once every hour, the cuckoo comes out of the clock and just says, shh. I didn't believe they were really so strict, though, and I went over to take a picture of one of the big guns, and the guard there was very nice to me. He helped to pick up all my teeth. Once I stepped up close to examine a big howitzer and the artillery man fired. I wouldn't say he fired right at me, but ever since then I've had a swell place to carry my bowling ball. And to show you how careful they are, right in the middle of the night... right in the middle of the night, I saw two termites boring a hole in my suitcase, and one said to the other, I don't mind working overtime, but great Scott, what does that J. Edgar Hoover expect us to impersonate next? That's a big egg, isn't it? I did a so big. Oh, no, wound up with a big omelet on my upper lip. I love it. I was telling you, what does that J. Edgar Hoover expect us to impersonate next? I came up with there. This afternoon when no one was looking, I slipped out and shot off one of those 16-inch Coast artillery guns. They're really powerful. Kicked back so hard against my shoulder, I almost dropped it. And as you all know, we have daylight saving time here now, and all the soldiers are happy about it. We have daylight saving. When it starts, today, tonight? Huh? Well, let's just whip it out. Let's wear it.
Wait,
let's listen
to Mr. Bowman. When does it start?
2 a.m.
Monday morning?
2 a.m.? Yeah. He looks like he knows. You look like an agent. I think you know. 2 a.m., huh? Well, anyway, we know it's here. And as you all know, we have daylight saving time here now, and all the soldiers are happy about it because they can get up an hour earlier. What if my policy covers me for this kind of talk? You know, you can tell daylight savings time is here. All during the night, you can hear the wail of baby wristwatches crying to be changed. If you don't like them, don't moan, please. Sounds like Pierce Brothers in here. I wouldn't say the soldiers have to get up early now, but this is the first Army camp I've ever visited where every night the bugler has to play Taps and Reveille as a medley. God bless you three. But all soldiers should like daylight saving because now to do your training, you'll have to get up before daybreak, and that's the only way to beat the rising sun. I know what that is, brother. Had my grandmother with a flag running back and forth. And I'm glad that daylight saving is here. I'm doing quite well now that I have to get up and go to work in the dark, and I've got the tires to prove it. You know, daylight saving time has confused everybody. One farmer started milking his cow while she was still sleeping. After the second quart, the cow opened her eyes, looked back, and said, "Egad, a swing shift here, too?" Daylight saving is tough on farms because the animals can't get used to it. This morning, one farmer woke up at a new time, looked out of his window, and saw his cow standing over a pail saying, "Ready or not, here I come." And the chickens have to wait an hour longer to lay their eggs. One chicken walked around for a while and it said, "If I have to hold this edge, much in Ebzodal." I've got two in my mouth right now. This may be the third one. Let me look at this. And the chickens have to wait an hour longer to lay their eggs. One chicken walked around for a while and it said, "If I have to hold this egg much longer, it'll fly out." That's what I walked back for. One chicken was sitting on a nest hatching out some eggs. Another old hen came up and said, "Agnes, wouldn't it be better if those eggs were used for food?" And the first chicken said, "Nothing doing. My motto is keep them flying." And this change of time has certainly confused things on the radio. I turned on my radio the other night, and H.B. Kaltenborn was analyzing the news with baby Snooks in his arms. Everything was mixed up. I listened for a few minutes. It was the first time Silver McGee ever waxed the Lone Ranger's horse. Of course, you can't really save daylight, but you can pretend you do. It's like saving money all year round and pretending there isn't any Henry Morgenthau. Just a second. Turn the lights on. Don't ever turn the lights up on an egg like that. I'm too much of a target, old boy. Of course, you can't really save daylight, but you can pretend you do. It's like saving money all year round and pretending there isn't any Henry Morgenthau. Turn all the lights out. I'd like to get the hell out of here. Turn them all out. But there's one man on this program. Hello, boy. There's one man in this program knows all about daylight saving time. One man who's always right down here at the studio on the dot, despite the changes that might confuse others less intelligent, Professor Corona. Get in. Hello?
Hello, Hope. Is this Saturday or Sunday?
Corona, it is now 9:20 Sunday evening.
Yeah, I better get up.
Professor, you're still in bed. Get dressed at once.
Okay, I'll take the top off my pajamas. Zipper stuck.
Stop fooling, Colonna. I know you're right outside there. Come over here immediately.
I'll be over before you can say Jack Robinson.
Okay, Jack Robinson. Jack Robinson. Jack Robinson. Wonder where that guy could be. Professor, what do you think of daylight saving?
What's that?
Have you heard about daylight saving?
What's the saving for? To buy a defense bond?
Corona, why are you always so far off the beam?
Well, I'm mad at the airport.
What's wrong with you anyhow, Corona?
Well, I've never told anybody this, Hope, but I've had my ups and downs since the day before I was born.
You've had your ups and downs even before you were born? How is that possible?
Stork liked to play yo-yo.
Well, you look nice tonight, Professor. What have you done to your mustache?
I had it rat-proof.
Really?
Yes, forced them to move out. Family of gophers offered her more money.
In my direction, but let's get back to our discussion of time.
Yes, I've conducted some very interesting experiments. I once measured the time it takes to put a golf ball.
Putt.
We've been here long enough. Let's steer for the shore.
Get out of it, Professor. So you're an expert on time.
Yes, my brother did 10 years for the government. They caught him red-handed.
They caught your brother red-handed? What was he doing?
His fingernails. Just think, Hope, all those clocks being turned back just because of the sugar shortage.
Colonna, what has turning back the clocks got to do with the sugar shortage?
Oh, it's very simple. You take, for example, the amount of... let me see now, the... must be some connection.
Colonna, you've gone hog wild.
Sir, you're speaking of the woman I love.
You're an expert on time at all, Colonel. Let me ask you a question. Now, if it's 1 o'clock in Los Angeles, what time is it at the North Pole?
Well, that's easy, Hope. It's 1 o'clock.
Well, why is it the same time at the North Pole as it is in Los Angeles?
It's still in the city limits.
Well, I'll ask you another question, Colonel. If you were traveling east on the train to New York City, how many hours would you lose on the trip?
Well, I'd lose 1 hour in Albuquerque, 2 hours in Kansas City, and 14 hours in Chicago.
Why would you lose 14 hours in Chicago?
No, a blonde there. I have a dozen beautiful clocks that show the time in Paris, London, Berlin, Moscow, and all the world capitals. I also have dozens of very fine gold watches containing the most delicate movements.
Well, what do you do when you want to find out what time it is?
Look in the thrifty duck store.
Well, you're pretty stupid. You and a jackass would get along very well together.
Well, we haven't had any quarrels so far.
Well, you're as confusing as that song, Rose O'Day.
You mean Rose O'Night?
No, Rose O'Day.
Night.
Day.
Night.
Day.
Well, there's another week shot to pieces. Well, that's enough of that, Hope. I'm getting tired of this jimsy.
Well, you mean whimsy, don't you?
Jimsy.
Whimsy.
Jimsy.
Whimsy.
You think you'll bring us pretty flowers?
Still whimsy.
Oh, all right. I'm tired of arguing with you. You're such a big yurt.
You mean I'm such a big...
Like it my way better, eh?
Look, Foxtail Lip, explain daylight savings to our listeners.
Okay. Listeners to the Bob Hope program. Monotonous, isn't it? Listeners, do you know why we're turning our clocks ahead? Do you know how many clocks are being turned ahead? Do you know when daylight savings was first started? You don't, eh? Well, that shows what an ignorant bunch of dopes listen to this program.
Well, you can't call my listeners' names.
Why not? You should hear what they're calling you.
Well, tell me, Professor, how should people prepare for daylight saving time?
Well, we should all set our watches an hour ahead. Give me a watch, Hope, and I'll set it ahead for you. There. Now I'll wind it up.
Oh, be careful, Colonna. Don't wind it too tight. That's an expensive watch. In fact, I wear it in one special pocket.
Oh, don't worry, Hope. Yes. Now you can wear it in all your pockets.
The new improved Pepsodent toothpaste is one of the smoothest, one of the best-tasting toothpastes you've ever known.
Oh, it sounds good.
It's snowy white, creamy, with a flavor that tastes like springtime. And it's more active.
I don't think you've ever worked
faster.
Because you don't mean it.
That's because it's more irium active. And that delightful fresh flavor cools your mouth, wakes up your taste, makes you feel good all over. But don't wait another day to try this delightful new Pepsodent toothpaste. Go to your favorite dealers tonight. Ask for Pepsodent toothpaste. Get a tube tonight.
I don't want to walk without you, baby.
I don't want to walk without you, baby. The day you left me behind, I'd take a stroll and get you right off my mind. But now I find that I don't want to walk without the sun.
Six hits. They got five hits up there tonight. They're drafting them every day, you know. First thing you know, we'll have Pauline. When does Pauline get drafted? She'll be gone any day. That was Francis Langford and the Six Hits and the singing, "I Don't Want to Walk Without You, Baby." Well, Francis, here we are at another army camp.
Yeah, Bob. What's cooking?
Same thing, beans.
We've certainly traveled a lot lately, Bob.
Well, my sponsor wants me to go to different places.
Last time I heard him, he just mentioned one place in particular.
You're very brave, aren't you? I wouldn't go there. I'd meet too many second lieutenants. Did you have... I know what happened. All you have to mention, they tear the roof down. Did you have a nice trip down here from Hollywood, France? I suppose you came down on the train with the rest of the cast.
I wanted to ride down by train the way you made the rest of the cast go. But you know, Bob, it's a long trip to be crouched down in those milk cans.
Yeah, for the next 3 hours, I walked around on my knees. But aren't you happy you made the trip, Francis? You know, it's so lovely here at Camp Callan. The camp on the shores of the blue Pacific, where the tall palm trees bend in the gentle wind and the cloudless sky smiles down upon the sunny shores.
Are you trying to get me to enlist here?
Well, I know 8,000 guys who would second that motion. But really, Francis, the fellas down here don't care very much for girls. Even the most gorgeous girls down here don't interest them. Why, if Hetty Lamarr and Madeline Kerr walked by, they wouldn't even turn their heads.
Bob, what makes you say that?
Well, when you're broadcasting from an army camp, you're not supposed to give out any correct information.
Really, though, Bob, I don't think these boys have much time to think about girls. Everybody's so busy with defense.
Yeah, and you know, even those palm trees are defense-minded.
What do you mean, Bob?
Well, I was walking by some of them before, and one of them turned and said to the other, "The heck would just stand around and looking beautiful, fellas. This year, let's try like anything to produce rubber."
Get into these army camps, isn't it? They certainly mean business. When we arrived, you hear the sentry say, "Halt, who goes there?"
Yeah, did you see what happened when I said Bob Hope?
Yes. Did it hurt much when the doctor pulled the bullet out?
Last time I was down here in Camp Callan, I didn't pay any attention to the sentry at all. I just walked right by.
Did he shoot at you that time, too?
Shoot at me? Francis, I was so full of lead, Leon Henderson flew in from Washington and put a price ceiling on the seat of my pants.
I guess the soldiers really showed you what they thought of you.
What's that? Yes, they did. Yes. Wait a minute, Francis. Why, they tell me I'm the most popular man at Camp Callan next to the bugler.
Bob, I didn't think the bugler was a very popular man. I thought the soldiers hated him.
Oh, nonsense. The men at Camp Callan love the bugler because he wakes them up at 5:30 a.m. so they can watch the beautiful sunrise. Why, if it weren't for him, they might oversleep and miss that invigorating morning air. And you know how terrible they'd feel if that happened. Think anybody believes this?
The bugler was certainly surprised when he saw you, Bob.
Why was the bugler surprised when he saw me, Francis?
Well, he took one look at your nose, then he turned to the rest of the soldiers and said, and I thought they gave me the bugle.
Francis, my nose is no different from anyone else's.
I don't know, Bob. When you were looking around the place today and your nose appeared above a trench, the general turned to his men and said, watch that. If it sees its shadow and goes back, it means 6 more weeks of winter.
Well, it comes in handy for taking the pits out of oranges anyway.
Bob, you must feel a little out of your element down here among these healthy-looking men.
Francis, I admit I'm not an athlete, but I must look a little like these soldiers.
You might if you'd only throw out your chest. Come on, Bob, throw out your chest.
I'd like to, but after all these years, I'd hate to leave my spine.
Well, you're still not in as bad shape as Kenny Ennis.
You bet. Say, you know those posters where Uncle Sam is pointing his index finger and saying, I need you?
Yes.
Well, when Skinny passed by, Uncle Sam looked down to see if he needed a manicure. Not even my relatives are laughing.
Have you seen Skinny since you're here, Bob?
When did he leave, old boy? When did
he... There's one age, George. He thought of you, and it awful. I thought that was an ulcer. I thought it was a big stomach. Where are you?
Have you seen Skinny since we're down here, Bob? He's walking around the camp with 2 big medals on his chest.
Oh, those aren't medals, Francis. During this rubber shortage, Skinny took the heels off his shoes, and he's wearing them where he can keep an eye on them.
This is a lovely visit, isn't it? How long do you intend staying here at San Diego, Bob?
Oh, about 3 spare tires. And now, Francis, and ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to present one of the foremost ladies of the screen who again returns to our show by popular demand, Miss Billy Burke.
Very nice yourself, Bob. Very handsome and dashing.
Do you really mean that?
No, but with so many wars going on, why start another one? Dear me, I seem to be the only woman here. There are so many men.
Oh, it's perfectly all right, Miss Burke. These men are all soldiers. See, they don't allow women at these army camps.
Oh, is this an army camp?
Look, when you find thousands and thousands of men in one place without any girls, they aren't doing it just to get on We the People.
I am thrilled. So all you boys are soldiers. Well, I just know you're going to beat the pants off the Kaiser.
The Kaiser? Well, Miss Burke, that was the last war.
Oh, yes, how silly of me. That was the one you fought in.
At the time of the last war, I was only 2 years old.
Well, I was only 1 year old.
Well, then that makes me 27 and you 26.
My, what fun. What do we play now? Oh, but really, I'm very glad to see you here, Bob. Tell me, do you get many letters from home? And has your mother sent you a cake yet?
Oh, just a minute, Miss Burke. Just a minute. I'm not in the army.
Well, it is a rather difficult intelligence test they give.
No, you don't understand. I just came here to give this performance tonight. You see, I've been going from camp to camp with my radio program.
My, oh, my. It must have cost you a fortune in convoys.
Well, don't you think it's a good idea, my broadcasting from all the army camps?
Well, yes, but...
But what?
Well, it seems to me that there should be some simpler method of testing our boys' gas masks. Sorry, Bob. I think you're doing a wonderful thing appearing at all these army camps. And the more army camps you appear at, the better.
You mean it helps morale?
Of course. There's nothing like a thing like this to get the boys in a fighting mood.
How can you say that, Miss Burke? Why, the last time I was here, the boys really went for me, as far as Glendale. Why, when I arrived this morning, did you see the reception they gave me?
Yes, but don't you worry, Bob. Someday you may have a chance to throw them into the harbor.
You know, Miss Burke, Camp Callan is right near the border. Perhaps you'd like to drive over into Mexico and see the Mexicans.
Mexicans live in Mexico?
Well, certainly. Who do you think lived in Mexico?
Thank Keller.
Yeah, I wonder how my brother likes the climate down there. But, Miss Burke, I want to welcome you to the Pepsi. So tell me, why haven't you been back here 5 times and no other guest star has appeared more than once?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps they asked for money.
Why, Miss Burke, we never have any trouble about your salary, do we?
No, but we may have a little difficulty this time.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, what are we going to do? I've got your autograph. But, Bob, really, salary doesn't make any difference to me. I just came down here to get a few good laughs.
You did?
Yes, but I see you've changed your haircut. Don't you know, Bob, there's quite a sermon in my appearing on your show so often.
Really, what is it?
Boys and girls, save your money while you're young and you won't have to resort to this sort of thing.
Now, there must be some reason why you keep coming back so often.
Yes, it is, Bob. Your personality is magnetic. Your program is good, the salary is handsome, and I should live so long.
Well, anyway, it's certainly nice to have you back in the program.
Well, it's nice to be back. You're so comical, you're so witty, you're so charming.
Why, Billy, you shouldn't have said that.
Oh, dear. Did I read my script wrong?
No, tell me, Miss Burke, what have you been doing in the 3 weeks since you were on this program last?
Oh, I've just been sitting home, studying that script we did. And you know, Bob, I'm beginning to understand some of the jokes.
Really?
Yes, my this program must be a great favorite with the kiddies.
Say, did you tell your friends you were coming back on my show?
Yes, I told everyone I knew that I'd be on your program again soon. They all wanted to chip in and buy you a little gift.
They all want to chip in and buy me a little something.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Hope, what's a Mickey Flynn? Here, my dear.
Right now, did you have any trouble getting time off to get down here, Miss Burke?
No, Bob. They were very nice about it at Lockheed.
Miss Burke, you're working at Lockheed?
Yes, Dave.
Dave?
Yes, the Douglas people thought it would be unfair to give up my job there night.
Well, they're certainly turning things out fast at Lockheed's, aren't they?
Oh, have you been over there?
Yes, I was in there the other day. I stretched out my arms to yawn, and the next thing I knew, I had landing wheels under me, and 2 guys were loading bombs on my back.
But then, of course, you're dressed for it.
What do you mean by that? Do you think my clothes reflect my personality?
Well, I don't know whether your clothes reflect your personality or not. Your pants certainly reflect everything else.
You're inferring that my pants are shiny?
I don't know. The other night, one of the ships were blinking a message to the shore, and the seat of your pants were answering back.
Anyway, you can tell I'm not in the Army by my clothes. Look at the way all those boys in the audience are dressed, then look at my suit.
Oh, I guess you're right, Bob. Yours is more khaki than khaki.
All right. Before long, I'm going to join up and wear one of those khaki uniforms.
How can you? You don't have a bicycle.
Well, what do I need one of those for?
Well, I understand they're required for all Western Union messengers.
Now, wait a minute. I may soon be with these soldiers. You know, I have to register in the new draft that just went into effect.
But, Bob, I thought they were only taking men up to 44.
Miss Burke, please don't give our listeners the impression I'm old. Why, right now, I'm in my prime.
Brother, you've been prime for 40 years.
You're going to get my goat, Billy. And by the way, that always struck me funny, that first name of yours, Billy. You know, Miss Burke, you were such a girlish figure having a man's name.
Well, Bob, you have a man's name, too. Mm-hmm. I'm only joshing. You remind me of my youth. I used to go out with a young man just like you. I used to call on him 2 or 3 times a week.
Miss Burke, When a young lady is going with a gentleman, he should call for her, no matter how far away her home may be.
I know, but the warden couldn't see it his way. I'd like to learn more about the men stationed here, Bob. Aren't all the men here in the auxiliary?
Yes, except if a girl passes, then they're all in the signal corps.
Do they have a lot of fun in San Diego?
Yes, if there aren't too many MPs around.
MPs?
Yeah, you know, a sort of happy-go-lucky Gestapo. Bert, did you see some of those big coast artillery guns they have here? Do you know that some of those guns can throw a weight of 500 pounds 20 miles out to sea?
Really? Isn't that an awful lot of trouble to go to just to get rid of the garbage?
I give up.
This is the announcement America has been waiting for.
Tell me, Miss Burke, have you talked to many of the soldiers here?
Yes, Bob. And they are thrilled when they found that I was a movie actress and knew a lot of people in Hollywood. They all crowded around me and asked for Hedy Lamarr's phone number. One soldier must have asked me 10 times.
Imagine a soldier asking for Hedy Lamarr's phone number 10 times. Isn't that silly?
Yes. Where did you ever get that uniform?
Oh, that's the one I wear to go to the movies in. You know, Skinny Ennis brought his thin brother down here, and the two of them got into a dice game with the soldiers.
Oh, did they lose much?
No, they were the dice.
Dice is quite a fascinating game, isn't it?
Well, how do you know?
Well, passing the barracks today, I bent over to tie my shoelace, and when I stood up again, I was ahead $28, 2 rifles, and a 4-hour pass to San Diego.
Why, Miss Burke, you don't know anything about playing dice.
Oh, no, I don't know a single thing about it.
Then why did you stay in the game?
Well, I was fading a tall sergeant, and he kept rolling boxcars and snake eyes.
How are you with Mark Card? Say, what have you been doing lately, Miss Burke?
Well, I joined the Red Cross, Bob. I'm learning first aid work.
You are?
Yes, I can fix a broken arm or set a broken leg or mend a deep wound in the scalp.
Stick around. I may need you before this program is over.
Has Skinny Ennis given any of his blood to the Red Cross yet?
Him give them? Miss Burke, they give him.
You know... Everybody who can should give some blood to the Red Cross. They have a blood bank.
A blood bank?
Yes, Mr. Ennis was down there the other day trying to open an account.
Well, Skinny wanted to donate some of his blood, but when he went in, he had a pretty rough time of it.
Really? What happened?
Well, he gave them a sample, and a few minutes later, the doctor came back, slapped Skinny's face, and said, when we want hot water, we'll ask for it.
Like it down here, Bob.
Oh, Skinny likes it here. Fine. The first thing he did when he got here was to put on a bathing suit and dive into the ocean.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, a couple of fists saw him. One fist said to the other, I've seen bait before, but this is ridiculous.
Get in the dome. Stop it. I shouldn't laugh so much for the money I'm getting.
You know, you must be pretty busy these days, Miss Burke.
Yes, these women are doing a lot of knitting.
Oh, yes, those were nice socks you knitted for me, but I'm afraid they were too small.
Too small?
Yeah, I put them on the other morning, and it's the first time I ever walked around all day with my toes stacked on top of each other.
You mean those socks were too tight?
Tight. In the middle of the afternoon, one of my big toes said to the other, we haven't been AWL, we haven't been gambling, we didn't forget to salute an officer. What the heck are we doing in the guardhouse?
I'll have to knit you a sweater.
Yeah, you know, the trumpet player in Skinny's band is knitting sweaters for the soldiers. He keeps the needles right in his trumpet.
Really?
Yeah, last week we were in a March field. He started playing Rose O'Day and won a dart game at Pomona.
You know, I'd love to help out these soldiers, Bob. If the boys meet me after the broadcast, I'll give them each a piece of pie I baked myself.
Oh, gee, that's swell.
It's my own recipe of whipped cream, mushroom sauce, ketchup, garlic, nuts, and artichokes.
Well, if they eat that kind of pie, they'll get sick.
Oh, no, they won't. The bicarbonate of soda on top makes it come out even.
Well, I think these soldiers are being taken care of pretty well. The Army sees that they get everything they want.
Of course, the Army is wonderful to all these men. But there were some things their mothers did for them that they probably miss now.
Oh, I don't think so. The Army does anything for them that their mothers could have done.
Oh, really, Bob?
Why, certainly. Why, this afternoon in the mess hall, I saw a big, tough sergeant burping a brand-new rookie from Pomona.
My, what a funny joke was needed right there. Most of the women is having their socks darned for them, but it's really very simple, and I'd like to show the boys how to do it. I have a needle and thread, and now all I need is a sock with a hole in it. Bob, would you mind taking your shoe off?
Well, Miss Burke, I have a sock here that needs mending. My big toe keeps coming through.
Oh, certainly, Skin. Let me have it there. Just a few stitches, and it's all sewed. See? That ought to hold your big toe. Try it on now.
Okay.
Oh, my, it's a persistent little rascal, isn't it? And another thing I can't understand, Bob. These soldiers who don't have their mothers here, who sews on their buttons?
Who sews on their buttons? Why, Miss Burke, you certainly don't know much about Army life. Every morning, the top sergeant comes in, takes each soldier on his knee and says, now tell me, who has a button missing?
How nice of you.
Yes, then when they show him the place where there isn't any button, he takes a needle.
And he sews on the button.
No, he takes the needle and tattoos the United States Army regulations on his forehead.
Goodness, how can the top sergeant do a thing like that? What is a top sergeant?
Well, did you ever see a picture of Simon Legree with that big whip?
Yes.
Well, a top sergeant would pour cream on him and eat him for breakfast.
There's just one thing more I wanted to show the boys. It's very easy to sew a button on a shirt when it falls off, so there's no need to worry when it happens. You just take a needle and thread and sew the button on. Push the needle in and then pull it tight, see? Like this. Well, you can always get a new shirt. But really, these soldiers are so wonderful, Bob. I'd like to have them all for my sons, and I'd like to take them all in my arms.
The same goes for me with the daughters. Before you leave, Miss Burke, is there anything else you have to say to the soldiers?
Yes, one final word. Soldiers, remember, we girls want to help you in every way. And if you're ever in Hollywood, just call me up and I'll get dates for you boys. And if any of you older officers happen to be around, well, never mind, because I'll be busy with the boys.
Billy, please, remember, you're not a young girl anymore, and you can't make people believe you are young.
I know, but I'll keep on trying as long as you do.
Betty Hutton and the Six Hits and the Miss give you Blues and Deny It. Did you put this up there?
My mama done told me when I was a big tail. My mama done told me, hon, a man's gonna sweet talk and give you the big eye. A man is a two-faced, a worrisome thing who leave you to sing the blues in the night. Now the rains are falling, here the train is calling, hoo-wee. My mama done told me, hear that lonesome whistle blowing across the threshold, hoo-wee. My mama done told me, hoo-wee, da hoo-wee.
Because of cold. No, that's all right. Old fellow.
That was Betty Hutton, the Six Hits and a Miss, singing Blues in the Night.
At this season of the year, there are more work hours lost because of colds and sore throats than at any other time. We can't afford to lose time from work in vital times like these, so be careful. Take the common sense precautions to guard yourself against illness. Gargle frequently with Pepsodent antiseptic. It's the quick, easy, effective way to kill millions of the very types of germs that so often increase the misery of colds. Get a bottle tonight at your favorite drug counter. And now, let us continue the life of Bob Hope from the day the stork delivers him to his parents. Just before the stork places little Robert on the doorstep, he says,
I have been a stork for 23 years. I have delivered all kinds of babies. Good-looking babies, ugly babies, skinny ones, and fat ones. Yes, sir, for 23 years I have been a stork and proud of it. But after this delivery, just cut off my legs and call me Ducky.
Although Robert's parents didn't care for him at first, they soon learned to hate him. But when Robert was 3 years old, his mother had grown quite fond of him. And one tragic night, she comes home to find her home on fire. She calls for help.
Oh, fireman, fireman, save my child. But first, how about a good game of gin rummy, huh?
Once as a child, Robert got in trouble. Oh, you know how boys love to go down to the corner fruit store and steal apples. Well, once Robert was caught, and he just couldn't explain why he was wearing the cash register as a bustle. Now we find Robert at the age of 14, attending his first mixed party. And even at that early age, his romantic way with women is noticeable.
Oh, come on, Francie, give me another one. Give me another one.
No, you've already had 12 pastrami sandwiches.
Robert was always on the lookout for good things. He had a roving eye and a nose to match. One day he meets Skinny Ennis. They become friends immediately because they have something in common, a mutual disgust. Then something happens that changes both their lives. One afternoon, Bob and Skinny pass the United States Army recruiting poster, and Uncle Sam says,
I need men. Want to help me look for a couple?
Gee, that'd be a switch. Bob Hope looking for men. As we told you last week... Robert Hope became a private in the Army, and it wasn't long before his character and personality asserted themselves. For his action on the field, for his behavior in emergencies, and for his all-round conduct, he is duly rewarded. And Robert has this to say.
Gee, what a pile of potatoes.
At camp, Robert doesn't like to work, and he dodges work so much that his friends begin to call him a shrinker, I think. But Robert likes it in the Army and determines to stick it out. But the captain sees his tongue and he is once again in the guardhouse. The first days of training come, the first days of training go. The weeks come, the weeks go. Robert receives his first month's pay.
Come on, seven.
And that goes too. At camp, he again meets Skinny Ennis. In fact, the two boys were using the same bunk. Skinny turned out to be the wrinkle that Robert was trying to get out of the sheet. Bob and Skinny like Camp Callan very much, but they feel the need of feminine companionship. They feel the need of feminine companionship. In other words, they're soldiers and they want a neck. Last week they went to a nice quiet dance in San Diego that the soldiers go to every night.
Gee, what a dead night. Only three waiters killed and two busboys scalped.
And now, as tonight's little sketch opens, we find soldiers Skinny Ennis and Bob Hope again at a dance with their two girlfriends, Fran and Betty.
Gee, Bob, wasn't it fun here at the dance? And weren't our girls the two prettiest girls here?
Uh-huh.
Wasn't it an exciting evening?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Bob, take that lollipop out of your mouth and talk to me.
Okay, there, I've taken the lollipop out of my mouth.
Good. Now stop playing with your yo-yo.
Okay. You know, I don't like the idea of us two just standing here while our girls dance with those two sailors. Oh, here comes the girls now.
Oh, boys, we're back again. See, you look nice in your uniform, Bob. Except, don't you think the pants bag a little too much in the back?
Oh, my pants are supposed to bag out and hang down in the back like this.
Really? What for?
Well, Fibber McGee and I have the contract here. He waxes the dance floor and I keep it polished.
Say, Jim, you're my idea of a real soldier.
You think so?
Sure. You carry that uniform beautifully.
Yeah, and you can see me when I wear it.
Is it tough in the Army, Bob?
Sure. Me and Skinny have to peel potatoes all day.
That doesn't sound like so much work. Did they give you a sharp knife?
Sharp. You see this thumb?
No.
Must have been sharper than I thought.
Gosh, Betty, we didn't really enjoy ourselves at the dance.
Yeah, I'm disgusted. Other fellows do the rumba and the tango and the conga and everything.
Well, what's wrong, Betty?
Gosh, with Skinny, it's always the same. Piggyback.
Well, say, Betty, how about you and me having one last dance?
Well, Bob, I'm brave enough to dance with you, but my toes are waving the white flag.
Well, Fran, you just gave me one dance, but how about dancing with me again? Are you going to tell me your toes are waving a white flag, too?
I don't know, Bob. Let's go out on the floor and look for them.
Say, let's all do the rumba. Hey, what is the rumba? Oh, you know, you go one, two, three, then you tilt the machine. Come on, let's dance.
Okay, Bob, I'll dance with you. Gee, Bob, isn't that music wonderful?
Yeah, I love to waltz.
You know, Bob. You know, Bob, you're dancing much better.
Really?
Yes, you're stepping on my foot in regular rhythm.
Oh, let's quit and go back to Skin and Betty. Uh-oh, trouble. Hey, Skin, here comes that big sailor across the dance floor now. Why don't you tell him off?
Okay, Bob, I will. Hey, you big lug. I'm going to tear you apart, see? I'm going to pull off your arms and bat you over the head with them. I'm going to...
Oops. You're going great. Why don't you keep telling him?
Man, he's getting within hearing distance.
Be a man. Tell him what you think of him.
Okay, I will. Hey, you!
Yeah?
Got him back.
Listen, you, if you want to fight, why don't you start fighting?
All right, you ask for it.
I polished him off. Great work, Kenji. How'd you ever hit him so hard?
Man, don't stand there talking. Just help me get this anchor back on the SS Idaho.
You boys better hurry back to camp. See, Bob, that sailor over there is making eyes at me.
He is, and I'll show that sailor. Hey, you gob.
Oh.
Well, what do you know? The Blue Jackets just sent a bundle nut.
Hey, we better hurry back to camp. What time is it?
Why, Bob, it's 12 o'clock.
Oh, that's right. 12 o'clock sharp.
12 o'clock sharp? Oh, my goodness. What was that?
Cinderella forgot her hat.
Hey, Bob, we better hurry back to the car. We'll never get back to camp before lights out. We only got 2 minutes to make it.
2 minutes? How far is it back to camp?
20 miles.
Well, we better let one of the women drive.
Gee, it's late. Skin, will you go to the check room and get my mink coat? And will you get my silver fox jacket?
And will you get my Mickey Mouse sweatshirt?
Come on, here we are at the check room. Miss, here's my check. Will you give me my hat? And that bottle over there.
Why, Skinny Ennis, what have you got in that bottle?
Blood. When I go out dancing, I carry a spare.
Oh, miss, will you give us our things?
Yes, sir. Here's Miss Langford's cape, here's Miss Hutton's jacket, and here's your sweater. Here's Mr. Ennis's pullover hot water bottle.
Thank you. And now, miss, instead of a cash tip, I'm going to give you something patriotic. You say defense stamps, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Good. Well, here's a book to keep them in. Now, come on, gang. Let's go outside for my car. Oh, parking attendant. Could you bring my car around?
No, I couldn't bring it around. I even tried adrenaline.
Well, Bob, there's your car, such as it is.
Quit teasing. It's a beautiful auto.
Yeah, Bob, don't you think it looked better if it had fenders?
I'm not going to drive any car that has fenders. You want Californians to think I'm a tourist? Come on, here's the car. Let's get back to camp.
Well, I'm glad we're riding back.
Skinny has to march all day. He's known as the droop of the troop.
And you riding around in an army car?
Yeah, he's known as the creep of the jeep. Hey, Bob, let's tune in the army radio and see if they know we're missing.
Okay.
Calling all cars. Not many of you kids left, are there?
Gee, that's Sergeant Colonna on the army radio.
Calling all army cars. All soldiers out on wild parties who are not back by the time I count three will be sentenced to 10 days in the guardhouse. One, two.
Well, why don't you count three?
We'd like it back in camp.
Why, Captain Colonna, aren't you at your post?
Certainly I'm on sentry duty, walking my post with my faithful old dog, Rover.
Come on, Captain, hug me again.
Like to be petted. Now, Private Hope, I've been looking up your record, and you're a little stupid. In fact, your head is as solid as Boulder Darn.
Captain, you mean Boulder Dam.
Darn.
Dam.
Darn.
Dam.
You should control your temper.
But, Captain Kelowna, I...
Now, Hope, you leave me alone. You make me so angry, you make me see green.
You mean I make you see red.
No, the light's just changed.
Oh, Professor, you're beyond saving.
I am?
Yes.
Well, I'll turn my back, my watch back an hour. Goodbye for now, and hurry back to camp.
We better hurry back to camp. I hope we got enough gas because I can't go into a gas station.
You can't get into a gas station? Why not?
Well, every time the attendant wants to check the oil, he wipes off Skinny's head and sticks him into the tank.
Hey, Bob, watch out. Get back on the street. You're driving on the lawn.
Yeah, what's the art of driving over these beautiful lawns?
Oh, I always drive this way. Last week, I got 3 gophers and a Japanese gardener. Hey, Fran, turn on the 2-way radio again.
And now, we have a broadcast of importance to all soldiers who are away from camp on leave. Captain Kelowna, who has been marching in the Army for 50 years, has a request to make the soldiers returning to camp. What is your request, Captain?
Somebody please bring me a corn plaster. Now I have a special announcement calling all members of the Red Army on maneuvers. Calling all members of the Red Army on maneuvers. Be on your guard this evening.
Why, what's wrong, General?
My mama just told me there's blues in the night.
Well, I better step on the gas so we can get back to camp in time. Gee, driving right along the edge of the ocean at 70 miles an hour like this is great. Doesn't this salt air feel wonderful? Doesn't this salt water feel wonderful?
Jenny, honey.
Yeah, sugar.
Why doesn't my precious lamb sit on my lap?
Ducks, woman, where do you think I am? Hey, Bob, open your window. There's a fly buzzing around in there. Watch me swatting. Doggone, he's been eating vitamin pills.
Calling all army cars. Calling all army cars. Official order number 156. Some soldier broke in the paymaster's office and stole $15,000. If apprehended, he is to be shot at sight. Culprit can be identified by large black mustache. Have you got that?
Yes.
You got your guns ready?
Yes.
Anybody got an electric razor? Say, Hope, I wish you'd hurry back and watch me conduct this experiment. I put my eyes to the muzzle of this rifle, and I try to duck before I get hit, like this.
Kelowna, Kelowna.
Just call me Popeye. Now a special announcement calling all the soldiers of Company B. Calling all soldiers of Company B. Report immediately to the mess hall. Boy, what a crap game.
Gee, Bob, I'm scared. I think Betty and I ought to get out before we get to camp.
I heard a girl's voice coming over my radio.
Oh, no, Professor, that was me.
You always talk that way?
Oh, yes, Professor.
How are we going to keep this from the Navy?
Hey, Bob, hurry up and get us back to camp.
Bob, look out. You're driving on the left side of the road, and there's a big truck coming straight towards you.
Oh, don't worry. According to Federal Regulation 8562, all Army vehicles have the right-of-way over civilian cars, trailers, and trucks at any and all times. Yes, sir. That's just what Regulation 8562 says. Of course, it isn't generally known yet.
Calling Red Cross Ambulance. Army car and smash up at entrance at Camp Calvin. Proceed there at once. I have a customer for the tires.
Kelowna, have we still time to get into camp?
Howdy, Hope. The general just ordered lights out.
The general just ordered lights out? Why?
His suspenders broke.
Gee, maybe we can drive around the back entrance and sneak in that way. I better see if I got enough gas. I'll light a match and look in the tank.
Bob, if you hold a lighted match near that tank, it'll explode. We gotta get back to town in this car.
Oh, nonsense. I'll just take a quick look. Well, we can make just as fast time running along these telegraph wires.
Bob, stop fooling. You can still drive the car into the gate.
Okay. Well, here we are at the camp grills. We'll have to let you off here.
Good night, boys. Daddy and I want to thank you for a lovely evening.
Did you like it?
Yep, it was worth every penny we spent.
Gee, Skin, look, the gate is closed. I guess we're AWOL.
Hey, Bob,
We're really in a jam there. Kelowna's doing sentry duty at the gate. How are we going to get in the camp?
Easy. Just watch me climb over this barbed wire. Well, don't stand there, Skin. Surround me.
Hey, who goes there?
Look, here comes the sentry. Girls, make believe you're soldiers.
I'm Private Bob Hope. I'm Private Skinny Innes.
I'm Private Ben Hutton. I'm Private Frank Langford.
Yeah, I never had tent mates like that.
Sentry, I'm Bob Hope. Who are you?
I'm Professor Kelowna, guardian of the gates, keeper of the watch, and custodian of this country's honor. Also, granulated sugar sold after dark. Now, listen, you fellas, you aren't going to sneak past me.
All right, Kelowna, you spotted us. How about letting us to camp anyway?
Okay, advance, give the password.
What's the password?
Lollapalooza.
Okay, Lollapalooza.
Believe me, will you?
Well, what is the password?
It's very simple, Hope. It's just... Let's hear the Jap pronounce that.
Kelowna, stop being such a tough sentry and let me into camp. If I'm late, I'll be put on guard duty. Oh, let me in, will you?
I'd love to, Hope, but I'd get in trouble if I let anyone pass through these gates now. But I'll tell you what. Why don't you climb over that wall?
Oh, gee, thanks. That's a swell idea. Here I go. I'm halfway up the wall. There, I'm on top of the wall.
Oh! You'd be surprised how many suckers I catch this way.
Hey, Bob, maybe I can sneak in while he isn't looking.
Go ahead, Skin, try.
Who goes there, friend or fool? Now would you try for the $4 question?
Gee, Bob, he's watching us too closely. How are we ever going to get in?
Listen, Skin, we'll try to slip in very quietly, single file. Now, I'll lead the way. You stay right close behind me.
Okay.
Skin, are you still behind me?
Yeah, but I think there's someone right behind me.
Keep going, fellas. La conga!
Gee, it's tough to get into this camp, Callan.
Hey, here's another way we can get in, Bob. Let's go over this wall.
All right, I'll boost you up. Here, Skin, put one foot in my hands and I'll heave you.
Okay, Bob, I'm ready. Heave.
Skinny, are you in the camp?
Yeah, Cape San Luis Obispo.
Skin, stop fooling. We gotta find some way to get by Kelowna.
I heard all the trouble you're having. Maybe I can help you, Bob. I don't...
What'd you do, pick up the Chase and Sanborn script by mistake? Scared the hell out of me. I thought the sponsor committed suicide. Tonight. Where are we?
Camp San Luis Obispo.
I heard all the trouble.
Fellas, you're straightened out, aren't you? How'd you pay the man, Walter?
Go ahead.
I heard all the trouble you're having. Maybe I can help you, Bob. I'll talk to Kelowna while you sneak around and back on him.
Okay, Francis, go to it. I'll sneak around him.
Oh, Professor! Oh, Professor!
Yeah, when did Bobby Breen join the army?
Hey, Bob, look. Here comes another soldier. He's late, too.
You fellas trying to get past the sentry? Oh, watch me get past him. Here I go.
Ah, who goes there, friend or foe?
Friend. Hey, sentry, here's $5. Forget that I came in late.
Okay. Counterfeit money.
Well, I'm going to report you to the general.
You can't report me to the general. The general isn't here anymore. Did you guys hear about it? Just when he was making a name for himself. Everybody liked him here, too.
Well, what happened to him, Kelowna?
He was drafted.
Kelowna, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely impossible that our general was drafted.
Oh, that's right. He's got flat feet. I'll be with you in a minute. I'm taking some other fellows into this camp. Line up here now. I'll take you first. Eyes brown, name Smith. Go right in. Next. Eyes blue, name Jones. Go right in. Next.
Kelowna, why did you shoot that one?
Eyes slanty, name unpronounceable.
Hey, gosh, boss. Here comes an important-looking officer. Let's see if he gets by Kelowna.
Oh, who goes there, friend or foe?
Friend. I mean foe.
Not playing any favorites.
Ha ha ha!
know who you just shot?
Why, no, but I'll send him over and see. Well, look who it is.
Well, what are you laughing at, Colonna?
Who said the general died at dawn?
Colonna, you don't even know how to handle a gun.
Listen, I can do anything with a gun. I can shoot a bullet out, make it stop 5 feet away, and then go back in.
Well, that's impossible, Colonna. Let's see you do it.
All right, watch.
Hey, that's wonderful, Colonna. How'd you do it?
Used to be the yo-yo champion. You haven't seen anything yet. I could shoot a bullet from here to Chicago.
Colonna, Chicago, 2,000 miles from here.
Well, of course, it sits down and pops for a while.
Professor, you're out of this world.
Well, anything to escape the taxes.
Come on, Colonna, let us into camp.
Not so fast, Hope. Remember, one false move and I'll plug you in a split first.
Colonna, you mean split second.
First.
Second.
First. Second. Well, what do you know? We got rid of High.
Colonna, you're a very... You're a very poor soldier.
Oh, how can you say that, Hope? I fought in many great battles. I even fought in India at Goon Ran.
Rangoon.
Goon Ran.
Rangoon.
Goon Ran.
Rangoon.
I don't care how you pronounce it. When the fighting started, this goon ran.
Before Tuesday, I'd play that part, you know. Look, Professor, we've wasted enough time here. We've got to get into camp so we're not AWR. Look, here's some money. Let us through.
What? I never heard of anything so brazen. I'm 100% American, a real patriot, and you're trying to bribe me with money. Haven't you got a defense bond on you?
Hey, Bob, I don't think we're ever going to get past this guy.
Wait a minute. I've got an idea, Skinny. I'll pretend I'm a girl, and maybe Colonna will let me buy. Watch this.
Oh, who goes there?
Me.
Who?
Me.
Yes, Jeanette McDonald. Advance, Jeanette. Is Nelson with you?
Yes, sir. Right along with us. Short and bread. Short and bread. All men are sure love short and bread.
Shorten him pretty quick tonight.
It's a long time to get started, but boy, those last four pages...
Favorite one, as you're the chaps who scrap the Japs and down the rising sun, we thank you so much, and thanks for the memory of Billy Burke's grand wit in every line and bit. With you as guest, we host the best to make a show a hit, and thank you so much. Folks of Bond will buy shell, shot, and powder. Keep our planes and our guns roaring louder. And a duty well done makes one prouder. With confidence in our defense.
More than 1.5 million Boy Scouts have undertaken jobs in national defense work, and by their help have released others for service in the armed forces and in industry. Their motto, Be Prepared, has made them practice in many things, from first aid to forest firefighting. This is Boy Scout Week. Give them all your help and appreciation. Next week, we'll be back on the air again with the same gang and...
Bob Holt.
Thank you, Ben Gates. Good night, everybody. Good
night.
Baby Sandy.